Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC Squawk on the Street. Good Friday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with Jim Cramer, David Faber, the New York Stock Exchange. Dow futures a bit soft, but still on pace for the first positive week in three. We're going to get options expiration, index rebalancing, look for some heavy volume as we head into the last official weekend of summer. Our roadmap begins with COVID, boosters, and the economic recovery. The FDA meets to debate allowing additional jabs to the general public.
Plus, regulating crypto, why investor Mark Cuban doesn't think it would necessarily be a bad thing.
And watching the EVs once again today, shares of Lucid are up again, Ford ramps up Lightning production, and Tesla's Elon Musk praising Chinese automakers. It's going to be the second biggest options expiration outside of a January month, so we'll look for that.
People are buzzing here about it. They're saying that CNBC should focus more on it. And then so then I try to pin people down and have a lot of friends here. And they just said, just focus on it. We actually don't know. Now, today's supposed to be today's the beginning of a period during the last 20 years that we've been down. I don't know whether that means this could be down. A lot of people, as Becky and I were talking about, a lot of people are trying to anticipate that it'll be down. But there are fireworks. People think there'll be fireworks here. And that is not, I don't know, since when we've been back. But it's the first time I've been stopped by a couple of people saying, if you don't focus on this rebalancing, you're missing the big story. So I don't know.
Yeah. Meanwhile, B of A today, monster reallocation from cash to stocks. Largest inflow into U.S. large cap ever. 12 weeks of tech inflow. Jim, they're citing receding threat of tax redistribution.
Well, when I listen to Squawk, I mean, there are certain areas that they're talking about taxes, but we're starting to hear about SALT relief. Now, get this. The Association, American Association of Individual Investors just put out some numbers. Bulls fall to 22.4 from 38.9. Bears rise to 39.3 from 27.2. Well, that's hard to believe that we could go down a lot with that much negativity. But again, I think everyone's just saying, well, look, it's been a horrible time. Let's pull back. I liked the Bank of America. Is that our man?
It's their flow show. Yeah, the B of A flow show.
The flow show? Is that better than the evidence lab? Holy cow, it's hard to keep track of these things.
Better than the evidence lab. But
anyway,
it is the flow show. So.
Flow
yeah,
show. Anyway, the negativity is very, very heavy. But the bounce back yesterday from the opening was actually kind of nice to see. Look, I'm not going to go against the seasonals, which say this has always been down. But I do like to see if everybody thinks something's going to go down. Well, David, that tends to not happen.
It's true. We do tend to perform the other way.
Right.
There is more of, not unanimity of opinion, but more weighted opinion. So, that's why typically we look at bulls, bears, and actually it's seen as a positive. We should explain that sometimes.
President Manchin has, always forget, Senator Manchin seems to have caused, there's a battle in the Democratic Party over who's more important. Now, the president's last I looked was
president has a
president.
Lot of levers, but Joe Manchin is one of 50 Democratic senators, and you need 51 votes in order to get this $3.5 trillion bill through reconciliation.
It doesn't seem
that
like
includes,
it's gonna
make obviously,
it.
The vice president's vote, and Mr. Senator Manchin is very much opposed to that level of spending and doesn't appear to be at least willing to compromise to a level where where the rest of the party or the president might be willing to go. So right now,
but he's been to the president.
Meanwhile,
some people
the trillion-dollar infrastructure bill has yet to make it to his
desk
either.
Steel companies, despite the numbers, people don't.
But U.S. Steel though, start opening a new mill.
Yes, and I know that the capital budget from Nucor is still good, but they bought back a huge number of shares. So I think people feel like steel is just price can go higher. By the way, people are looking for about $20 for Nucor. They pre-announced yesterday $7.50. Looking for $20 for Nucor, and then $22, and then $11 next year.
$11.
Yes. So I mean, it looks cheap at $4, and then it doesn't look so cheap if they only do $11. So
right.
I don't know.
We'll see if steel does what iron ore has done this year, which has not been pretty. If you were long,
no,
Jim. Putting the whole week into some context, I think the phrase is unsettled macro narrative because CPI was cool, retail sales were good. Empire and Philly beat, and yet Journal leads today with transportation costs and Maersk upping their guidance. We'll get FedEx next week.
Well, it is very clear that supply chain issues. We had a number cut today for CSX, RBC. Why supply chain congestion? I mean, this thing doesn't go away. When we hear FedEx, I mean, a lot of people think that FedEx is going to talk about high costs. I don't. I think FedEx is oversold. But I do think that it doesn't go away. It just doesn't go away. And it's interesting that you mentioned Tesla. Tesla is importing cars to Europe from China, but China goes on unabated. They just don't have the supply chain issues we do.
Right.
They have other issues. Like, David.
There are quite a few issues.
How's that Evergrande paper holding up? Do you guys know that this is really good article at CNBC.com? That
yeah.
$300 billion in debt, could default next week. 200,000 people work there. But at one point, China's richest man, excuse my pronunciation, Yui Ka-yan, I mean, I should know him. He's not part of the Common Prosperity Plan.
No. No. It's potentially going away. That's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
China continues to be a concern for U.S. investors, although I don't know that we got anything new today. So I suppose there's that.
Well, we did.
Did we?
Yeah, we did. There's
as we see some of the bigger market cap names, of course, are tending higher at least.
Global Times.
The Global Times piece.
Okay.
Which is like Izvestia and Pravda when we were younger, says it's not too big to fail. Well, what does that mean? It means that those bonds, which they owe 83, they got.
You're talking about Evergrande. You're back to Evergrande now.
Yeah, well, I think Evergrande is.
No, it's a big deal.
Evergrande is kind of the biggest. Banks are on hook for $300 billion, could reverberate throughout the system. They actually allowed a protest. 100 people protested. That's like in China, 100 people protesting. That's big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get approval of protest.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, doesn't the Communist Party have to approve a protest? Or they got a First Amendment there?
No, they don't.
Thank you.
They don't.
I rest my case.
We should point out, this is a property developer, just in case people have
not
been
following
the story. No, sometimes
it's the largest in the world, arguably.
One of the largest, yes. It's enormous.
I just think it has to be on the radar screen, because next week's the week that it could default. Yeah. I'm sorry I've not talked about it more. I've been busy talking about Dogecoin or something, but this is a big deal.
Yeah. It does feel as though, we could go back 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and talk about defaults of property owners in China, and it would always be a concern. And yet, it's never risen to the level where it's actually.
No, it's just Kyle Bass comes on and says, "Worry about it."
Kyle's been talking about worrying about a lot of things in China for a long time.
Yeah, yes. He's been a very big worry. Very concerned China during the period when they passed us in terms of growth and expansion. He's been worried.
Well, they haven't really passed us in terms of the size of their economy yet.
The number of 100 people make more than 100,000 when I saw more there than here.
Yes.
I think it's uncommon prosperity.
When do you believe that they actually will have a larger economy than our own? Do you have a date on that for me?
January 7th, 2023. No, I mean, I think that.
Right, closer to like 2027.
If Trump is elected again, I'd say.
28.
I mean, look at this fiasco of trying to get things out of Vietnam. I mean, it's unbelievable. Trump made him switch to Vietnam. Haiphong Harbor can't even handle these things.
Well, that's in part, but also there's supply chain problems in Vietnam because of COVID.
Terrible COVID.
And Malaysia as well, the Journal reporting on that this morning.
What kind of shot do they have that they have such? I mean, I say this only because there's a big Pfizer discussion today about how much we should get. Dr. Gottlieb, who's on the board of Pfizer, talked about the idea that people who are older should get it. But this is going to be a very big decision today. Very big. I'm all over this thing. I've been talking to Pfizer. I have Dr. Topol on tonight, and my guard is the best authority other than Scott Gottlieb. And Dr. Topol told me, get the third before you go overseas, so we know where he stands. Get the third.
Don't take the fifth. Take the third. We're going to learn more about the booster headlines today. Of course, the panel meeting next week. And Gottlieb was on Squawk Box earlier this morning talking about this very subject. Take a listen.
An older population vaccinated a while ago, there is clear evidence that the boosters can provide additional benefit. We know that population is uniquely vulnerable to COVID. To the extent that we're seeing rising breakthrough infections and some rising incidence of more severe disease, that's concerning. You know, you worry that that is sort of the tip of the iceberg, and you're going to start to see more and more older people become vulnerable. And so I think we're likely to come out here is some recommendation around providing boosters, but bifurcating it based on age and people's circumstances.
Interesting. Gottlieb's been pretty cautious about the fall, especially in the Northeast, but he does have a new book. He talked to the Washington Post yesterday, and one of his lines was, just as we have Tamiflu for influenza, we'll have it for coronavirus. The technology will get better. Delta may be the last major wave of this virus.
Look, he's been saying that we are peaking. David has been saying that we should, instead of talking about vaccine, which does matter, and Regeneron, if we can get...
Well, I mean, there's two. There's Molnupiravir at Merck. We've been talking about it forever. Of course, we had my friends at Ridgeback on a year and a half ago almost at this point. But they are there in phase three. However, it's, you know, we still have to see. They haven't unblinded anything. We'll have to wait and see. But the hope is that these antivirals, and Pfizer has one as well, will be able to work very well, early stage disease, knocking down the virus effectively and be equivalent to, if not actually exceed, a Tamiflu. And the fact is, if you've been vaccinated, maybe you should be thinking about this as a flu anyhow, because the fact is that it does not appear to have any worse ramifications for your health than does a bad flu. Now, we don't have a lot of data on that. Right. I'm listening to Gottlieb and others who say those things, but we'll see.
Two studies.
That said, if you had a Tamiflu as well, if you got COVID, breakthrough or otherwise, that would be very helpful.
Well, we know that, yes, they keep you out of the hospital, but... And if 99% of the people in the hospital are not vaccinated, the data that Dr. Gottlieb is referring to, it does say that after 20 weeks, goes down to 65% for some people. The studies are not good in terms of the length. But
But again, even if you do get a breakthrough case, which, as you point out, becomes more likely as the efficacy wanes, you're not going to end up in the hospitals.
But the other side's true, too, which is it's 99%, so why not go for it? The numbers are staggering if you get the third. I mean, the third,
why not go for
and
it?
You could be in a room full of people with Delta.
Right.
You could be on Delta. No, just kidding. We saw the United Airlines thing today. I almost had a heart attack.
They're fine.
I was at a heart attack. I was like, grounding every plane. I mean, like, did you see that one?
No, I
didn't. That was worse than the Walmart taking... Dogecoin, whatever it was that you said was cool.
Oh, I said it. Oh, I did. Okay. Oh, thank you. Oh, my God. It was Litecoin, actually.
Yeah, it was Litecoin. And they took the fall for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Litecoin.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I get it. Believe me. I think all the years. I usually know a fake press release when I see one. But this big, this crypto stuff, it's like you put a fake merger in front of me.
We'll have
I'll be the first
more.
One who says, none of that makes any sense. I don't get it. But this stuff, it's like, I don't know.
We'll go to the crypto. I know you're not a believer.
I didn't say what? I'm going to roll you off the set today.
Fine. Doesn't bother me, none.
We're going to talk some more crypto, including what Mark Cuban weighed in on yesterday. A lot of news in the auto space for GM, Tesla, as we said. Another downgrade of casinos here as we watch Macau. Take a look at futures on this Friday. More Squawk on the Street continues in a moment. Lucid extending yesterday's gains, one of the EV startup's luxury sedans, has been rated at 520 miles of range by the EPA. That's the longest of any car rated by the EPA. Meantime, Tesla's Elon Musk praising Chinese automakers in a pre-recorded speech at a green vehicle conference in China. Take a listen.
I have a great deal of respect for the many Chinese automakers who are driving these technologies. My frank observation is that Chinese automobile companies are the most competitive in the world, especially because some are very good at software. And it is software that will most shape the future of the automobile industry.
This week's been busy between the Lucid rating, Tesla, and now Ford doubling capacity of the Lightning, finally getting to 150,000 reservations.
I think that the Ford's numbers have to include the possibility of a certain part of the battery being in short supply. That is the reason I mention is because we already have semiconductor short supply. So I happen to be a huge believer in Ford. I think they're going to solve these problems. But I just caution people that every time you get excited, you have to remember that the semiconductor situation has not been resolved.
Right.
And they can have all the orders they want, but can they fulfill them? And that's been the issue.
Yeah. Shares of Lucid have had a good week. There's been some research that has been more positive than not, other not quite. Adam Jonas came out earlier in the week and was sort of not overly positive on it, but at Morgan Stanley I'm talking about. But he does come out and give them credit for this 520-mile EPA range.
Well, that's a big deal.
He does say we're likely living in a barnstorming era of EV breakthroughs where records may be shattered on a regular basis with respect to charging times and energy density, range, cycle life, all the other important technological attributes required to replace gasoline in the years ahead. But he doesn't want to detract from this moment, which is a good one for
the
company.
Well, we need him to talk about the issues with batteries because he has done more homework than anyone. Just spent a huge amount of time actually interviewing the players involved.
We got him on Tech Check today.
We do?
Adam Jonas, yes.
Oh, good.
You guys are booking everybody.
I know. We're the best.
You guys have had a real heck of a week. Wow.
Sadia is now co-host, right?
Nadella, Jassy, we call them co-anchors. But
yeah, Jassy's a special contributor.
Nadella
only to Tech Check.
Too? No, is that last week? I don't know. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Who's left? They haven't gotten.
Bezos. They haven't gotten Bezos.
Bezos. They're not Bezos.
Yeah, they haven't gotten Bezos.
No.
Neither have we. You haven't gotten Bezos either.
I'm working on it.
And you know who else? The guy's wearing the tuxedo jacket there. He hasn't been on. Did you notice that Musk had a...
Yes. Well, he had just thrown his after party for the Met Gala, so I'm sure he's in a fashion
tax the poor. Tax the poor on his back?
I was wondering why.
My wife said, can you get me a gown like that? I said, no. No, I'm not getting you a tax the rich gown.
Do they sell them?
Well, I'm sure that you can go right now.
You could spray paint something.
I thought it was a cool looking
dress.
There
it is. See, he's got those lapels. Yeah, nice.
Spent $35,000 to go to that gala. It's a good look.
Anyway, they haven't had him on Tech Check yet either.
If you're going to not wear a tie, that's to be the look.
And we'd love to get Zuckerberg talking about this remarkable week of reporting at the Journal.
Amazing.
And these internal documents. There's more today about the percentage of posts that were discouraging the vaccine, even as the company was trying to promote it.
Oh, right. That's today. Yesterday was Mexican drug cartels and hitmen.
And the prior day was Instagram and teenage girls.
And then the first one was,
you don't have to go on it.
Was the thing.
You don't have to go on Facebook. What do you expect? I mean, like, Apple does take off things that we are hoping
to. Wasn't it supposed to unite the world?
What, Facebook?
Bring people together.
I thought that was Coca-Cola.
What does it reflect about human nature that this is what it's become?
You
I ask
don't
you that.
Have to go on Facebook, okay?
I don't, by the way.
Well, then, I mean,
neither do I.
Why is this? I mean, my wife's watching Facebook last night. I'm watching the big giant win. I shut it off because I know after the pick, how could the Redskins come back? I mean, excuse me. Oh, my God. Washington team. Corrected. But no, my wife said, by the way, the Washington team won. And I said, what are you doing? She goes, I'm on Facebook. What do you think I'm doing? I'm watching Facebook. She watches Facebook like it's a show. She's like, dogs, Facebook, Instagram. And you don't need to watch this thing. We got to move on.
Meanwhile, if you watch the stock, it has declined a bit this week, but it has not been particularly
because they're for small business. I keep telling you that. You don't listen.
Well,
you're for Walmart. I'm for Facebook.
$1 trillion market value.
Yep.
Yes.
Incredible top-line growth, to your point.
That's right.
No question.
And supporting small business.
When we come back, we'll get Cramer's Mad Dash. We'll count down to the opening bell. Got some decent gains in Europe despite UK retail sales down 4 months in a row. First time or the longest stretch in at least 25 years. We're back in a minute.
Welcome back. A little less than 7 minutes before we get started with the final trading day of the week. And let's squeeze in a Mad Dash. We've been talking energy a bit, and you have, and this is an energy name.
Right, earlier this week, I had Mike Wirth, CEO of Chevron. A lot of people consider him the dean of the industry, and he is saying there's newfound discipline among the major players in the Permian. So we had seen that with Devon, not as big for Permian, but matters. We also saw that with Pioneer at PXD. Huge discipline, meaning returning cash flow. Well, this morning, perhaps the most aggressive Permian player, Diamondback, announces a $2 billion buyback, returning half of free cash flow. Half! So this is money that used to go, they used to borrow against free cash flow in order to drill. So the thesis here is, if you've got these companies not drilling and Aramco paying a gigantic dividend, then maybe you really do have a supply shortage. I think it's incredible that these guys are returning free cash flow.
I think it's a great point and an important point that you're making, and we should pause on it for a minute because, again, it goes back to the idea, where were we, 13 million barrels a day out of the Permian when we were at our high?
Well, in this country, yes, because of Permian growth.
And
now it's 9. It's the Permian cutback.
But it's not going to improve because these companies have decided to return capital to shareholders instead of put it in the ground.
They're accelerating it to the fourth quarter. They were going to do it in 2022. They're doing it now.
Right.
Mike Wirth is saying, Jim, your numbers are wrong. Okay, because you're using Permian numbers, presuming the free cash flow goes back into drilling, and it's not.
Right.
So I think people have to pay attention. We are going to be actually a slip into a very negative situation.
What is the underlying commodity? I mean, you've talked a lot about natural gas lately.
It's got to go up.
But that could go to six.
And
oil.
That.
Yeah.
Well, I now have to revise my forecast. I did not think that these guys would do this. I had Pioneer One to talk about it.
Some independents then, or some smaller players who are scrambling.
This is the largest
independent. But what about, maybe you and I should get together and start, $75 or whatever it is.
Whatever you say, we'll go buy, we'll get in private equity, make a lot of money, not produce anything, and not get taxed.
These guys at Blackstone move pretty fast.
I think they're
already looking at it.
Well, Blackstone is, I'd say, the best.
Remember when they bought up all those houses in 20 minutes?
Play.
And they suddenly were the biggest realtor in the United States? I mean, maybe they're going to be like, none of the majors want to dig anymore. Maybe we will.
Well, if they all get, it's kind of a Mexican standoff. I mean, maybe nobody can drill because nobody else is drilling, and then Blackstone comes in and wrecks it.
That's probably not true. Yeah, we're just totally
being
making
facetious.
That up.
But
the
this
rest
does
of
matter.
It, the rest of it,
this
we
is
weren't.
Fang.
Yes.
Not the fang. This is the real fang.
All right, we're taking a break. We got an opening bell right after this.
Well, let me ask you this. Where is it written that all the tax breaks in the American tax code go to corporations and the very top? I think it's enough. I'm tired of it. Big corporations and the super wealthy have to start paying their fair share of taxes. It's long overdue. I'm not out to punish anyone. I'm a capitalist.
That is the president yesterday denouncing once again, Jim, the number of large companies that don't pay federal tax.
Well, I mean, it's easy to pick on them, and I know they did cut the rates, but the rates that they're talking about raising them to no longer are as competitive in the world. David, you know that one of the things that we did when we cut the rate was we kind of went to where other countries are, and we're going back to where we're not as competitive, but somebody's got to pay for something.
Somebody's got to pay for something. And 23, or 21 to 26 is
on the CNBC real-time exchange at the big board. It is Ginkgo Bioworks celebrating its listing via SPAC. We're going to talk to the company's CEO in an hour. By the way, a longtime CNBC disruptor on our Disruptor 50 list.
I featured them, and they're real. Yeah. I mean, not just because they made a lot of noise. I know that's a fact.
And at the NASDAQ, the metals company celebrating its recent listing via SPAC.
We did not cover Dutch Bro last week. Now, this is now more than double. This is a favorite of mine. One of the great, I told Starbucks, go buy Dutch Bro. It is a fantastic place to get a cup of coffee. Oh, my. It has been the hot deal, and it's not what people are talking about. Dutch Bro.
Can you give me a symbol on that? Do you know?
I drink the coffee. I mean, it's a Dutch Bro.
Dutch Dice this
there
week?
There it is. We got it. B-R-O-S.
Yes.
Yeah, this bro. Bro. Now, I mean, my daughter always said it's bro. Dutch Bro. It's not Dutch Bros, Dad. But what they do is they have kiosks. And you pull into a kiosk. I went into a Dutch Bro. Listen to me. Don't listen to them. I went into a Dutch Bro. I used to go to see my daughter in Oregon every quarter after I went to San Francisco. I went to a Dutch Bro in the first quarter, and then I went back in the second quarter, and they knew my drink.
Wow.
Now, that's what I call loyalty.
Yeah.
Well, no, that was what... Dave, don't just...
I'm not.
Don't
that's
shine
amazing.
Me on.
That's great. I mean, my coffee guy here in my little cart knows my drink,
yeah,
too.
But you've been there 20 years. This guy had been there 20 minutes. Said, oh, yeah, you like the X. This thing is such power. I mean, look out. This stock is the darling now. And it, look at this thing. This started trading last week. Now, this week. They didn't come on. They were bumped, unfortunately. I'm trying to get them on, trying to steal them from Tech Check.
Yes.
But this is, if you've ever had their coffee, they have a coffee that was basically 140 octane for me. I had one around 6 p.m., and I didn't sleep for 3 days.
Well, that was one more day than usual.
True.
Yeah.
But as we said, it's, look at On Holdings. Above 40 today, it's another 7%.
But
why has it been such a strong week for the new issue?
Well, not a lot of stock. They're cutting that amount of stock. And the companies, believe it or not, are actually very real, known growth companies. And they're working. Look, I had Weber on last week. Weber announced a much better than expected quarter, and it's done nothing. So, I mean, if you're looking for growth, Weber is a growth stock. We all know them as a grill play. I mean, there are plenty out there. It is very easy to be negative, like everybody's negative, but I saw this Dutch Bro, and I saw on, and I said, there are some loyalty out there to owning companies.
There are. Now, we still have an enormous amount of companies going public through SPAC. Obviously, today, Ginkgo Bioworks is one of them, and one of the largest,
Why
by the way.
Why can't that come public
one of the largest.
SPAC? That was an exciting company.
You know, that's a good question. They did use Soaring Eagle to come public, but Ginkgo Bioworks, I mean, you're talking a $14, $15 billion value,
right, but
I
why would we raising, just buy shares in Ginkgo?
They only had a 50% redemption, which, by the way, is very low in this market. On that note, you know, I've been following that closely, these redemption rates of SPACs.
You mentioned it to Gary Gensler.
I mentioned it to Chair Gensler. He was aware of it.
He said it's an issue.
CTAC is the latest one where you had more than 90% of the shares redeemed. That's Cerberus Telecom Acquisition Corp. Love that. It's trading right around 10. They did postpone their shareholder vote from the 16th of September to the 22nd. But again, it comes back to the old minimum cash. Ginkgo Bioworks fine on that, right? Only 50% redemption, right. Less than they expected, perhaps. But in this case, these guys are looking at $345 million minimum cash you need to close. Not clear they're going to get there. So they'll violate the minimum cash requirement. Then you need the company to say, we're okay with that. That continues to be a question as well, guys. Should it be the company that decides and waives the minimum cash requirement, or maybe the shareholders? Given the shareholders are voting on the deal prior to knowing how big the redemptions are as a percentage of the overall outstanding shares. Anyway, we're staying on this. That was the latest had over 90% redemptions.
What are we doing now, IronNet?
What about IronNet?
Well, I mean, that was the short squeeze. It's down 7 today.
It is. It's... Wow. IronNet, yeah.
Well, you reported on that.
Well, we reported on IronNet because it was similarly had an 90-plus, I forget, it was 93, 94
that,
redemptions.
How can you not take advantage
and they
of it
started,
and sell it?
They started their corporate life, so to speak, as a public company with far less cash than they'd anticipated. But it has captured the imagination of a number of traders, Jim, maybe even some of the memesters. I don't know.
No, the memesters were out in full force on it.
They were. I mean, by the way, there's a bunch of these names. Remember LIDAR? Remember that one? AI? LIDR?
Yeah, I like those guys.
That's down 10% today because it was
like
up
them.
Yesterday.
Just kidding.
You had a bunch of names yesterday that got briefly memeified. TMC, the metals company. That's down 8%
that
today. Briefly. These are all SPACs. OPAD. Down 17%, OfferPad Solutions.
In the meantime,
so these
great
things
companies
are moving all over the
there's
place.
There's like Doximity and Upstart, two unbelievably good companies, just real companies, Upstart taking tremendous share, really doing great. Doximity, well, every doctor I know uses it. These are the companies that you buy. Look at that. When you look at Upstart, that's AI loans. Wells Fargo went with them. That company is so fabulous. It's a Benioff company.
All right, so there you go. Upstart and Dutch Brothers.
Dutch Bro.
That's my takeaway.
Dutch Bro, Doximity, Upstart. Who needs SPACs? Why do we have to have SPACs? Those are the companies, though. Dutch Bro coming in here.
It's coming in.
Shouldn't have mentioned it.
No, you shouldn't have.
I jinxed it.
You did.
We're watching crypto today. Mark Cuban with a very granular thread yesterday about crypto, saying that any discussion of regulation has to start with the fact that his view that crypto is not monolithic. He thinks stable coins will be the first to get regulated. He says, personally, I think regulation built around existing fraud laws is not a bad thing. Says he's open to changing his mind as he learns more. By the way, as we're talking about this, some headlines that the White House is considering new sanctions that would make it harder for hackers to use digital currency to profit from ransomware attacks, Jim.
Well, that would be very good because unless they do that, I find the cybersecurity companies I talk to say, look, one of the biggest problems is that there's no penalty if you pay. And yet there's a penalty if you pay ransom for kidnapping. I'm going back and forth with Mark Cuban. I think that Mark is terrific. He's saying that if Gensler uses fraud laws and goes after people who rip off others, he's going to support that. And by the way, stablecoin, you're absolutely right. He wants more regulation of stablecoin. They have rules that they follow or they can't be called stablecoin. That, I think, is terrific. So I think that Mark is representing a view that a lot of people like I have on crypto, which is that we just need to go after bad people. We don't need to go after everybody. Come up, have some rulemaking. Don't necessarily prosecute everybody, but have some roommate and prosecute the bad guys.
By the way, looking at some of these prices, there's some headlines this morning that we're in what they call altcoin season, as minor cryptos take some share away from the Bitcoins, the Ethers, and the Litecoins.
Well, Litecoin is getting crushed. David, that's, I know you're close to that. Ethereum not doing well, and Ethereum is the one I keep hearing is what people want to be able to trade.
Well, you're an Ethereum guy. I've heard you say that.
Lock, stock, and barrel, I'm Ethereum.
Yeah.
It's been terrific because I sold the Bitcoin and bought that farm. See, they're not securities, David.
Right. Now, earlier this week, we did have the SEC chair join us on that very subject.
Yes. Do you have a clip?
We do. Take a listen.
Wow.
We encourage the platforms to come in, properly register, work with us if we need to sort of sort through whether it's, you know, some of our laws written in bricks and mortar time, transfer agents. I know your listeners aren't thinking about that. Or custody. Maybe we have to adjust some things, but to work with us and to come inside to help this market. If this market's going to have any potential, it's not going to long survive outside of an investor protection framework.
Sounds like he's got Mark Cuban on his side on that in a little bit, right?
He does, yes. Now, Brian Armstrong, remember in that interchange,
that CEO of Coinbase,
he was ready, he was hoping to speak with Chairman Gensler. It didn't happen. I also thought when he called Gensler doing sketchy actions, I thought that was ill-advised. It was as ill-advised as that pass by Heineke when it should have run, but it managed to come back as the offsides penalty. These are ill-advised plays, and I think Armstrong's even more ill-advised than the Giants coaching, which is saying something, just in terms of benchmarks, you know, David.
Got it.
Thank you.
I like everything comes back to the NFL.
It's good. Why not? The ratings are good this year.
Jim, White House has a statement saying that failing to raise the debt limit could cause a recession.
Why do they have to ratchet things up like that?
How much are you thinking about this?
I did a study of this, and you had to buy every time some higher official said it would cause a recession. So I just got the buy signal from the president.
Is that true?
I know the president says he's a capitalist. Maybe he's focused on the work that I've done.
Well, I mean, McConnell said it in 2019 that it failing would be catastrophic.
2011, you remember that decline?
Oh, sure.
That decline? I was at Eagles training camp, and I was very worried about the team. But a guy who played cornerback, who obviously was not thinking about football, came up to me and said, hey, this debt ceiling, it's really a crisis, isn't it? I said, like, Mark, it's down 19%. You just got to go buy. He said, no, let me tell you something. This debt crisis is serious. When a cornerback from the NFL lectures you, go the other way.
But you're not saying that we won't witness a game of chicken.
No, but I'm saying that if we go down on this, you have to buy. There will be a game of chicken because we have two parties that are not as important as any business. Business is much more serious than government. These guys can play this game. But it's not going to end up being Rebel Without a Cause where somebody goes over. Rebel Without a Cause.
James Dean.
Yeah,
I know. Yeah.
You do?
Well, I'm aware of it, yeah.
Jim Backus was in that.
Was he really? Jim Backus.
Sal Mineo.
What a cast. How was it?
What a cast.
You didn't know that.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. Yeah, but not Marianne or the professor or his wife.
Or Ginger.
Tina Louise.
Thank you. Yes.
You said that in a way that tells me that you had a childhood crush.
We know what kind of guy he is.
Who didn't?
Not that I recall.
There's a Marianne Ginger debate.
Totally. There always is. Yes, it's true. Continues to this day.
Zelda went to Harvard Law, just, you know, if you want to keep track of people, like, leave it to Beaver. She was at Harvard Law. She did incredibly
well. Speaking of people
with
advanced degrees, I think we got more PhDs on the floor than we ever have had here at the New York Stock Exchange.
And yet they spacked.
With this Ginkgo Bioworks.
And yet they went and spacked rather than brought a deal. While Dutch Bro didn't deal. What does that tell you?
I don't know. What does that tell me?
It says that you didn't need to do a SPAC. It just confuses things.
It may. There was a lot of moving parts.
That was a disruptor from way back. They did fabulous things. I question why they needed a SPAC. That stock would probably end up being higher if it had been a stock.
Speaking of disruptors, guys, I did want to do a quick Faber report. On Zoom and Five9.
Here is the host of the Faber Report, David Faber.
That's it. You don't need any of us.
It's never going away.
You don't need any
of us. That's never going away, Jim.
You don't need any of us.
He's Johnny Gilbert's introducing the Faber Report forever. You can just leave, and I'll talk. Let him do his thing. They still haven't figured out who's hosting that show. Just letting you know.
Yeah, well, I just showed you. Empty chairs doing it.
Zoom went down a lot after they reported those earnings that were not well met by the marketplace.
No.
And they had agreed to buy 5.9. Remember, it's 0.553 and shares. Full stock deal was worth roughly, let's call it, 200. It's not worth anywhere near that, although it is trading well above what it is near if you were to do the ratio. Right. This is a focus. It's a focus certainly for those who call themselves takeover stock traders or event guys or risk arbs, however you want to call them, because many of them are expecting that Zoom is going to have to raise the offer in some way, either add cash or add stock. I mean, if you were to top it up to 200 again, you'd increase pro forma the ownership of 5.9 shareholders from about 11.2 to, I think, around 14%. So that's one possibility. They do have cash that they could use. This morning, as I tweeted, ISS, the influential, whether you want it to be or not, it is, influential proxy advisory firm, says vote against. So you got this vote coming up. It's very unlikely that Zoom is going to win the
is
vote.
Is Rowan saying anything? Rowan
or the
CEO?
Say again?
Is the CEO saying anything at 5.9?
I haven't heard anything from him. No.
Because I thought he was totally on board and he would not rock this boat.
But they're including Zoom in their right. 5.9 in their projections.
Yes,
Zoom
are.
Is.
But and it's vital.
Jim, it's not clear that they ran an auction. It's trading well below the price at which it was trading prior to agreeing to the deal. If you're a shareholder of 5.9, you can't vote in favor. Now, listen, the stock is not down nearly as much because of the widespread expectation that they will top this up to bring back value to roughly the level it was prior to Zoom's significant decline. But we'll see. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll choose not to.
Are you telling me that they didn't try to get fed? That Rowan didn't try to get best price. That's ridiculous. You throw mad money repeatedly. This guy is
the background from the transaction. The background from the transaction is hard to conclude. I don't have additional reporting on it, so I will back off on that and say I don't know.
Well, they didn't think Zoom would be down 17% on that quarter.
No, they didn't. They didn't. So it's a focus, Carl, for us as we get closer to that date and/or what Zoom's going to do. One of the larger deals of the year, by the way.
It's a very important deal because Zoom needs to get beyond just being a way to be able to communicate. They need this. They need call center. Cisco has been there for that. And remember, Rowan, by the way, is from Cisco. I think Cisco had an unbelievable analyst meeting.
Yeah,
nobody cared.
We talked
nobody
about
cared.
Some of the upgrades yesterday over at JPM and Credit Suisse.
The numbers are going to shock people.
That was Credit Suisse's point. By the
yes,
way, two calls we didn't get to today was Jefferies cutting Las Vegas Sands, even now.
Very early on that one.
And then and BMO cutting Take Two and slashing the target, by the way, by $75.
That's a very interesting downgrade because a lot of people feel that it's been going down because of NBA 2K, which is a big game in China. China only represents 3% of their growth, but a lot of people felt that was the future. I think it's going down because the games are late and because Strauss Zelnick is not going to sell a game that isn't perfect. He in league with Rockstar. Strauss is a guy who is pro-gamer. He's thinking more about what his real customer's doing than he's thinking about the Wall Street customer because he doesn't want to set people up for failure. But for being like that, his stock has gone from 220 down to 150. Even though I think he's remarkable, Strauss, but Grand Theft Auto's also under fire because of ESG. There's a lot going on in Take-Two that is not good, even as the company is an excellent company.
Guys, finally, in answer to your question about Zoom and 5.9,
yes.
The background shows there was no auction. It was CEO to CEO, and
no,
it doesn't appear they got a market
price.
Check at all.
They got a great price.
Oh, was that great a price?
What?
It's a 13% premium. Isn't that big a premium?
But the stock had run up in anticipation.
Okay.
Who was interested in them besides?
I don't know, but maybe
don't
they
know
don't
either.
Know either.
Eric Yuan is...
You know what? We don't have time for
Eric Yuan is fabulous.
We'll talk Canadian
he's
National
doing...
another time.
All right.
We're out of time.
All right.
Watching equities here, obviously on watch for high volume on this quad witching day. Dow's down 20. Watch the bond report as well. Treasuries today, 10-year, 137. Getting back to that 200-day moving average after a few days in which we did see yields drop. We will be right back. NVIDIA's Jensen Huang, Apple's Tim Cook, Tesla's Elon Musk, among those on Time Magazine's list of the 100 most influential people of 2021. Here's what Nike co-founder Phil Knight wrote about Cook succeeding Steve Jobs This almost impossible transition was handled with amazing dignity and grace and announced to the world in his own quiet way, I am not the second Steve Jobs, I'm the first Tim Cook. And by the way, in the 10 years since, Apple stock has gone up 1,000%, making it the most valuable company in the world. Some of the other business notables, Mary Barr is on the list, Jim, Ken Chenault, Ken Frazier.
No, look, remember, it's owned by Mark Benioff. Mark does not interfere with any of these things, but I do think it's, I think that Jensen Huang is the most deserving, the CEO of NVIDIA, which was reiterated again today. Still one more recommendation. This thing, I don't think, quits. People talking about how they do not have, there he is. Now, he is not 40. He looks 40. He's remarkable. That is a motorcycle jacket. His daughter is a member of the, is in the CIA. No, she's Culinary Institute. Chef. And every time I turn around, there's something new I learn about him. And yet he is the most humble of the executives. Tim Cook is very humble, too. But Jensen is a guy, when you ask people out there who's smarter than you, it's always Jensen. I've never heard anyone say, well, any of them. It's always, well, Jensen. And yet, I call him Da Vinci.
You call him Da Vinci.
And they're starting to adopt my Da Vinci. So one of my friends over there says, what some people are talking about him being Da Vinci. Oh, because he's an architect. He's an artist. He's a writer. I mean, think about what Da Vinci was. Right?
Yes.
You ever go to Da Vinci Museum? Invented the helicopter.
Invented the helicopter.
The howitzer, basically. Well, those are things interesting. But Jensen's really the man who's invented the metaverse. Wouldn't you like to admit the metaverse?
Great. Well, Facebook's going to own it, so that's good for all of us, for sure.
Metaverse, he says, is going to be bigger than real life.
Nothing bad will happen in the metaverse.
You are so critical.
We're going to be angering from the metaverse in no time.
I'm doing the whole darn show from the metaverse. Yep. Why not? I'm a hologram anyway.
It's true.
We have to move on, David.
Okay. Dow's down 80 here on this Friday. We'll get stopped trading with Jim after a short break. Time for Jim and Stop Trading.
She's watching Thermo Fisher, by the way, just raised numbers at their conference. Very important. Great stock.
Okay,
so smoke. So anyway, this morning, Bank of America reinstates Williams-Sonoma with an underperform. West Elm trees don't grow to the sky. I think this is going to be wrong. I think it's, frankly, fatuous, David, to use my word. I think it's a shame because I think that Laura Albert's doing an amazing job and the margins won't be under pressure. And I do think that Delta is another reason to be in it. They do talk about that being upside risk. I would not short or go against Williams-Sonoma and Laura Albert, but this Mr. Haas thinks that it's peaked.
Interesting. I mean, yesterday's retail sales print, furniture was up 3.7.
She can deliver. The port issue is certainly with everybody, but she will deliver. I think it's an incredible model that she has, an omni-channel, constantly being underrated. Look at that stuff. So once again, someone else comes in and underrates it. I think that's a shame. It's going to be wrong. I believe.
All right, Jim. How about tonight?
Okay, tonight at BuilderSource, which is a company that can give you a read on shortages in the housing system, and then Dr. Topol, which will be in reaction to the Pfizer meeting this afternoon, where I think that the elderly will get permission to take a third shot. Or as Dr. Gottlieb said, you already said the older. First he said old, and then he said older. And it's very different, old and older.
Yes.
Let me tell you.
I'm sure it is.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. You're not old. You're just older.
I'm older.
Older.
Thank you, Dr. Gottlieb.
We'll see you tonight, Jim. Yep. You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.